Give it up one more time for this amazing band we're so blessed to have here today. Thank you all so much. Welcome, everybody, for all of you here and all of you joining us online. As we start today, I just want to take this moment to honor a few of our dear sisters, Bobby Mae Matthews and Colleen Reeves. We're going to take a minute to breathe their wonderful lives and legacies in. Bobby Mae passed on August 31st in Deer Creek, and her beloved caregiver and Unity of Wimberley member, Beth Andrews, was by her side. And last night, Colleen Reeves, after suffering a stroke on Friday, passed away around 3 a.m. Reverend Jill was with her and her family, was there as she transitioned. Bobby Mae was a beloved member of this congregation, and she was a director of Child Protective Services in her home state of Texas. She also directed Austin's Settlement Home, an organization that cares for individuals who've experienced severe emotional trauma, abuse, and neglect, a place she devoted 20 years of her life to. She was also a champion of love and was loved and cherished by all of those who had the pleasure of encountering her wonderful spirit and presence. Colleen was a champion of hospitality and a steward of the land on which she lived. She created and ran the Red Coral Ranch, a beautiful event center here in Wimberley. It was a wedding chapel and a holistic farm. She survived by her wonderful husband, James, who is a retired surgeon, and they have three sons together. Just take a moment to breathe in the goodness that they lived, that loving, bright light that they let shine so strongly upon all of us, all that they encountered. We smile because they lived their legacy to the fullest. We open our hearts to them because they show us how to love, and we honor them as they move forward and onward. Thank you all. My wife always insists I wear a jacket for my talks. And I told her, you know what, babe, not today. I want to be cool, both figuratively and literally. It's a little balmy out there. It's a little humid. It's my legacy is my talk, right? that's what I want to talk about today. Excuse me. A lot of times when we think of legacy, we say we want to leave our legacy as it's something in the past tense, something that's happened, something we've done, something we're going to do. I'd like to shift that vernacular and that thought process into a loving heart space of living our legacy. Just like these two beautiful women did. Now, what does that mean? It can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I think a lot of times we fall into the trap of concerning ourselves with the idea of what our legacy should be, about appeasing the judgments and beliefs of others around us, not honoring our true self. I feel we fall into that rut of wanting to please, and therefore we lose the gold and the God that resides in us, that's accessible. If we strive for achievements and approval on this temporal plane, we lose sight of our true spirit, true essence of who we are. You know, a lot of times on the days of my talk, I get up and it feels different. It feels like a different morning for me. I get a little tense. I want to be pristine. I want to come up here and be perfect. And so I try to orchestrate my morning that way. You know, I've got to have my space. I got to have my alone time. I got to do some yoga. I got to stretch it out. Leah's got to watch the kids. It's this whole process. It's this whole routine. Because of the pressure I put on myself. You know, I give the best talks when I just relax. And we all sing the best in the shower, right? When no one's watching. And why should it be that way? And why is this day more special? Why is this moment more special than the moments I have with my children? Or just a wonderful one-on-one interaction I have with one of you in church or up here praying? You know, this pressure we put on ourselves for these rituals, it's a good thing, right? It can be, but extreme, because extreme pressure, when applied to a piece of carbon, can create a diamond. And we are all stardust, and we all are all carbon beings. And we can shine as bright as the best of the diamonds out there. But I just want to make sure we're not putting too much pressure on ourselves, because we don't want to become rigid, become crystallized, become implacable. Sometimes what we're most connected to what we're most bound to, is what's holding us back. This idea that our being, our legacy needs to be super polished, spot-free, impressive, I think it's a fallacy. I looked up the word legacy in the Merriam-Webster dictionary and gave two definitions that are as follows. Legacy. One, a gift of will, especially of money or other personal property. Two, something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor of the past. Now, I judge we focus a little too much on that first definition. And I'm not knocking that. If you have a successful career, you run a successful business, a lot of times on this plane, we're rewarded monetarily. And that's a good thing. That's fantastic. But the crux of what I'm after today is, are you giving something up for that? Are you giving something up to meet these certain expectations you place on yourself or that you feel others might be placing on you? We live too much in the thoughts and mind of others a lot of times. Is this exchange even? Jesus said, do not worship false idols. I wonder, let's examine, you know, is a false idol your hunger to succeed, to prove somebody wrong because you think you're doing it better, to gain? Is your idea of legacy ego-based, or is it about serving others and the things that are in front of you? Being able to have the integrity, the grace, the tenacity to live in the moment, from moment to moment. You know, if you're always stressed out and never present because you're trying to gain this thing or do this thing that's out here, what are you missing that's in front of you? What's the energy you're bringing to it? Perfect example, I noticed in myself a couple weeks ago, the boys were gearing up to go back to school, and we got in this awesome habit of riding bikes every day. And one afternoon, I was in my office doing a little bit of work, and my oldest son, Ford, came up to me and asked if I'd like to ride the bike with him. And I said, sure, let's go do it. So we got on the bikes, and usually our ride is from point A to point B. We leave the house, we go past the mailbox to the road, and come back. It's like this thing we've got accomplished to have a successful ride, or like a ride that deems worthy of my time. For whatever reason, that day, Ford just wanted to ride around in circles in the cul-de-sac and not really put a lot of effort into it. And I just sat there, and my energy got all weird. I started watching myself. I got all kind of tense and irritated. And I was like, Finn, what are you doing? The goal is just to spend time with your son. And here I am getting all stressed out, and he can feel my energy. And what's the point? It's just to have a moment with my son. The legacy I want to leave is care. It's being with him. That's the energy I want to bring to it. It's like the ancient Buddhist philosophy of just tree. A lot of times we'll see a tree and we'll be like, oh, that reminds me of the tree that was in my backyard. Or that's a tree I fell out of when I was young and it hurt my arm. We bring all these judgments and these expectations. And we can't just see the tree for what it is. A beautiful expression of God. Something that's just there. It's just tree. It's just a bike ride. Is that not good enough? A wonderful definition of the light I'm trying to bring into this talk today is by Christian Sorensen from the book Living from the Mountaintop. When you move on from this world, you'll be remembered not for what you accumulated, but for what you gave. You live an abundant life not because you are a chosen one, but because you have chosen to put yourself in the affluent flow of life. Another beautiful expression is from Joe Achisiter from the book Gift of Years. Each of us leaves a legacy, whether we mean to or not, stamped on the hearts of others, We leave behind our attitude toward the world for whether we inspired in others a love for life. We will be remembered for our smiles and frowns, our laughter and complaints, our kindness and our selfishness. You think Jesus sat around and worried about how many fish he gave you, the size of the fish, the color, did it have enough stripes on it, was it pretty? No, I don't think so. I think he just cared about the fact that he taught you how to fish. He embodied ability, not outcome, but trusted you'd have enough by putting pure energy into action. We've got to ask ourselves a lot of times, how much is enough? Are you striving for something out of the desire for recognition or the beauty in the act of doing? Tied in with the honesty that our actions might better the moment, yourself, hopefully even those around you. Is your full and your highest self showing up? Are you holding yourself accountable? Are you in true integrity with yourself? Ford and I, my oldest son, you know, I keep going back to my kids because I'm a relatively new parent. And a lot of you may have kids, you may not. But when you have kids, you start thinking about who you really are, what your ideals are, and your beliefs. Sometimes you forget that you want to leave a lasting, or live your legacy with your children and be a model for them, a good model of what you believe in. You get beat down, you get tired. Ford and I have been studying karate for a while. We started together when COVID was really rampant. Then we split up, and I take private lessons, and he goes in and studies with other children his age. It's good. The socialization, I think, is good for him. So it's been a long journey, and he tested for his orange belt, I think, 3 or 4 months ago. Didn't do so good. He pretty much missed everything. And I was watching him. He's standing there. He's just flailing around. He's not really giving it his all. He's distant. He's spacey. And he came to me, and he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to quit. And not to put anyone else on blast, but we had a friend group that was in there, and they had another child Ford's age in class with them. And they bounced. They were just done. And I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? I'm studying karate, and I'm not doing a good enough job teaching him what he needs to go in here and pass this test. And now, you know, the outcome, you can't control outcomes, and I really don't personally care about the outcome. I don't care if Ford becomes blue belt, green belt, orange belt, black belt, whatever. I care that he shows up and gives it his all. And I realized that I wasn't doing my part. So I was like, you know what? You have to pass this test. You're this close to getting orange belt. It's a goal we have. You're going to do it. And he fought me tooth and nail. He didn't want to do it at all. We'd practice at home. I'd show him the katas, the moves, and to be honest, I thought maybe they're right. Maybe it's too intricate. It's too aggressive for a 6.5-year-old to process this stuff. But that was just me trying to find an easy way out. It's not. So we sat there with him. We did the dance steps. We did all the things we needed to do, the combos, the punches, the kicks. And he was so, I got frustrated. It was hard. But finally, I had the patience and took the time with him. He got it down. He started to get it down. It started to click, right? And you know what? He started having fun with it. He started enjoying it because he had the knowledge. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is patience. It's giving. He had his test for the orange belt on Wednesday last week. Passed it. Got almost everything right. And the thing that really, really makes me feel good is that he was leading the class. He was loud. Yes, sir. Hi-ya, all these moves. And he was in the front. Without hesitation, just straight boom, boom, boom. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean. It's not about the outcome. You can't control outcomes. It's about putting yourself in the moment, giving yourself the betterment of the moment. Was I tired some evenings? I didn't want to teach them? Yes. Would I rather go sit and have a glass of wine? Yes. But I did it. You know, we often think of legacy as Christ, Rockefeller, Jordan, these names, something grandiose. But the truth is, grandiosity comes in all shapes and sizes and colors. A flower doesn't beg you to smell it. And a rose does not compete with a tulip. They just coexist, understanding their worth. We're not all meant to be Elon Musk, Brad Pitts, Ruth Bader Ginsburgs. But being the highest version of ourselves is as important of a thread in the tapestry that is the field in which we reside. There's a wonderful quote from the Bible, Matthew 6:20 through 21. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Think about that for a minute. Think about that. Your worth, your beauty, it's not out here. It's not things. It's not stuff we wear. Your business could go under. You could lose that dream job. Your partner could leave you. All for reasons beyond your control. But what you can control is how you respond. Are you the same person with or without those things? Like the verse from Matthew reminds us, our worth is in here. And life is this great symphony. The highs and the lows, they roll through like beautiful expressions of emotions, colors. Take the ride and don't allow yourself to be run over. We should be so grateful that we're here to experience these things. It's easier said than done, though, sometimes, isn't it? We can lose our spark. We can lose our passion. We can feel adrift. We can feel lost. There's this great movie called Soul by Disney Pixar. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it. Yeah, right? Amen. Yeah, they take a really interesting perspective on a metaphorical journey of your soul, and they made it really, really awesome for both kids and adults alike. The crux of the story follows the character Mr. G, voiced by Jamie Foxx. And Mr. G is downtrodden. He is just disgruntled and upset with his station in life. See, he's a music teacher part-time at a public school. And Mr. G judges that the kids don't care. They're not in it. And frankly, they're not that great musicians, so it hurts his ears. He doesn't like to be there. He's this great, pretty profound jazz pianist, but he's in a rut. He can't seem to get the recognition or the accolades or just the time that he feels he deserves in front of people, sharing what he believes is his purpose. Lo and behold, he gets a call from a former student. He's like, Mr. G, get down here. I forget the name, but she's this famous traveling jazz musician. She's in town. She's playing this gig tonight, and we lost the pianist. We need you to get down here. So he runs down there, and he plays beautifully. He gets lost in the moment. He's living his spark. He's in the moment, in his integrity. He gets the gig, and he's so ecstatic. He runs and leaves the gig and runs, and he falls in a manhole. And his journey here ceases to be. And so the real meat in the story, the meat of the movie, is his journey up to the spirit world. And he gets there, and he's frustrated. He's like, this cannot be. I just hit it. I'm living my life's purpose now, and how can you take this away from me? He's very upset. And the gatekeeper's like, no, you're Mr. G. You're on time. This is you. He gets out. So I can't remember the intricacies, but he gets out. And along the way back, he finds his portal. He gets back to Earth. And along the way, this lost soul that is up in like the holding cell for all the souls up there that's never been down to Earth because she's lost. The little soul is lost. She doesn't believe she's worthy of. She doesn't have a spark. She hasn't found her spark. What she believes she needs to come down and inhabit a human body here on Earth. Somehow they make like this getaway and they come down. And he gets to his gig. And she tags along with him, and a lot of comedy ensues. But the point is, the lost soul that gets to experience just one day as an average little human, I should redact that. No one's average, no one's little, but just as a human being, nothing grandiose happens. She experiences the beauty of the leaves falling, the seasons changing color in New York City, the bustling energy in the city, and the beautiful sensory overload of a deep dish pepperoni pizza. And so he completes his gig, and they go back up. And she moves on and she's ready to go because she understands now that it doesn't have to be crazy big. Just coming down here and being is enough. And because Mr. G allowed her to find her spark by letting her tag along, he's allowed a second chance back at life. And it's through all this he realizes that it's not his purpose to be some revered, amazing musician. It's just his spark. It's something that lights him up. His true purpose is to witness and embody the beauty and just grandiosity of being human. And so he comes back and vows to live his life with his eyes wide open, not so resentful, not so caught up. It was a beautiful, beautiful message. So I viewed my spark for a long time in my early 20s as a young man, was acting. If you guys listened to my talk before, I'm sure I've divulged some of this. So I went to LA, tried to be an actor, was an actor, did some things. But in hindsight, as I embarked on my own spiritual journey, I realized that I really didn't like it. I really didn't like the whole thing, you know, tap dancing and auditions, showing up, saying lines that weren't mine. I mean, you're a pawn. You wear other people's clothes. You just basically say lines. And it really wasn't that enjoyable. I think that I'm a somewhat creative, artistic person. And the truth is, I was using that as a get-rich scheme. My legacy in my early 20s became about proving my father wrong. I wanted to do everything I could to prove him wrong. And I share this not because I think this is a group therapy session, but I share it because I think we can all relate in some way. My story is not special. But the reason why is he was really successful in business, and I wanted to be my own person, and it was just ingrained in me that I had to do this. My legacy was like, I'm going to prove him wrong. Because when I was in my early 20s, coming into my manhood, you know, we sat down and we started talking. And I told him, I was raised staunch Catholic, as maybe some of you were, and he was raised even stauncher. And I told him, I don't believe in confession anymore. I was feeling myself. I believe I had good rationale for that. You know, it's like, do priests, when they graduate seminary, do they just get like a special 1-800 number, a direct line to God that we don't know about? I didn't think so. And I told him that, and he responded, well, I failed as a father. And I don't tell you this story to slander his legacy. I say it to bring some enlightenment or light into the darkness. That was his story. That was his beliefs. And his legacy was that he wanted to raise a son that would be a good boy and go to heaven. That was his job. And so, looking back, it really cut me deep, and I realized I spent decades, or a good part, better part of a decade, trying to just fight that. And I realize now, I don't really care. I don't care not because I don't care about my father. I don't care because we cannot define ourselves by other people's permission. There's a statement, poor is a man whose pleasure is dependent on others' permission. Poor is a woman, too. Poor, we're all poor for that way. And it's just, I would love nothing better than to sit down and have a conversation with him now and not be so affected by what he said. You can't let other people, whether they're your parents, your loved ones, cut you like that. You can't let them shift who you think you are because you're good enough as is. This inside here, the God inside of you, if you're pure and in your integrity, you're good enough as is. And so I was just out there trying to resurrect my father by, if I got famous, if I got notoriety, if I convinced 100 people, 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people to love and adore me, then I'd be good enough for him. And how sad is that? How sad is that? We cannot allow ourselves to be that way. You know, so when I didn't succeed and become revered and well-known or famous, the idea of failure only grew within me. It began to taint any endeavor I would have. I got upset because, you know, I got back here and wanted to play guitar, and I wanted to be good at it quickly, and I didn't sound like Clapton. I'd get pissed. Excuse my language. I'd get mad. And that would seep into me when I hang out with my kids, and that's not the person I want to be. And Barack Obama said, someone once said that every man, change that to everybody, is trying to live up to his father or mother's expectations and make up for their father or mother's mistakes. But the problem is when you live that way, in search of a certain approval, you miss what's in front of you a lot of the time. You miss your chance to live your legacy in place of some treasure hunt. And what's even deeper is you continue the generational trauma, the legacy of trauma that has been passed down through the line. And I'm starting to understand that maybe my legacy is not forging out on some various endeavors to prove to everyone, aka my father, how special I am. My legacy is healing that trauma. Our underlying motive shouldn't be about serving us. It should be about serving what's in front of you and trusting your good intentions and follow through will come back to you. So I wrote a book a while ago. It started off as a poem because my oldest came up to me. Actually, we were driving in the car, my wife and I, and the news of Kobe Bryant's death seared through the SiriusXM airwaves. And he looked at us and asked really sincerely, without any kind of irony or, you know, bang bang kind of humor, what does dead mean? And Lee and I looked at each other and we didn't really know how to answer. Luckily, we got to the party quickly and he dropped it and went and played with his friends. But they never forget. So the next day, I picked him up from pre-K and I put him in his car seat and he looked at me dead in the eye with like the weight and depth of his soul just searing into me. And he asked me, Daddy, will you come to heaven with me? When I die, will you come to heaven with me? And I didn't know how to answer it. So a couple days later, I pulled up in our driveway and I couldn't get out of the car. I was just bawling. And I started writing this poem, and this poem turned into this children's book that Reverend Jill was so kind to read on Father's Day this year. And that's it. I didn't have any delusions of grandeur wanting to achieve something by doing that. It just kind of happened. And it flowed. And the other day, I had some prototypes in our kitchen. I'm not going to lie. I'm still trying to get the thing out there and published. I want people to see it. But the truth is, he was looking at the book, and he got really teary-eyed. And he just ran up to me and gave me this biggest spider monkey latch around my body. And he was teary-eyed, and he was upset. And he's like, Daddy, is it hard for you to get older? No, hear me out. He's like, sometimes it's hard for me to get older. He was about ready to start school. The passage, he's a very sensitive kid. He gets it from me. But the passage of time is just hard for him. And he's concerned about what's next, right? And so as he held me, and I just sat there and held him too, and I was like, you know what, buddy? Yes, I get concerned. Yes, I worry. But I want you to know that I'm always here. Can you feel my heart energy coming into yours? And God is always there because God is you and God is me. And as he sat there and we wept together and I held him, I let go of all the other crap. That in that moment was my legacy. I don't care if anyone else reads the book, showing up and giving that to him. Heck, giving it to me. That's what I'm talking about. You'll find it. You can find it. You know? I spent so much time in my head worrying what others thought of me, how I was executing, how I was living, what kind of mark I should live, I forgot to leave my own mark, a personal mark. You know, my idea of legacy used to be tied up in human expectations, human love, but it's all temporal, it can go away. We need to invest in the highest of love, and that is God, and that is our energy. It cannot be destroyed, cannot be taken away. If this is the beginning of a new age, my work is to quiet my mind, open my heart, and relieve suffering. Or, if this is the end of the world, my work is to quiet my mind, open my heart, and relieve suffering. Baba Ram Dass. Amen. As I wrap this up, I want to leave you with a passage that I really think succinctly gets across what I'm trying to express today. It's from Michael Singer's newest book called Living Untethered. Beautiful book. Imagine, you can close your eyes if you want. You don't have to. Imagine you're taking a walk, and there's a piece of paper on the side of the road. You feel the disharmony, and you pick it up. It's not a have to or supposed to. You're simply an artist making the world more beautiful. Your mind doesn't say, I'll pick this one up, but I'm not going to pick up every single piece of litter. Nor does your mind say, what idiot threw this piece of paper on the ground? This is the kind of person that ruins the world. No, you're simply a spontaneous being who is in harmony with life. You expect nothing back from your actions because they were not done for approval or recognition. You can't help but share the beautiful energy going on inside of you with the moment in front of you. The highest life you can live is that every single moment that passes before you is better off because it did. Serve the present moment with all your heart and soul, and imagine what the world would be like if everyone did that. Start by raising what appears before you. If you can't even serve what's in front of you, how are you going to change the world? If you're getting so upset about conditions in the world that you're edgy with everyone around you, you're not helping anyone. If you can't create harmony in your own household, what right do you have to complain that countries are shooting missiles at each other? You have to live a life that if everyone lived it, there would be peace. It's probably a good thing if your view and desire of your legacy changes. You are constantly changing and evolving, and that's a good thing. Your legacy is the grace you had with yourself and in others to make amends for wrongdoings. The ability to laugh when things got hard. The ability to cry, too. It's your smile, it's your heart, it's you. You're all of it. The good, not so good. It's about gratitude, trust, and embracing the privilege of this experience. Mother Teresa said, I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I wish he just didn't trust me so much. Let's take this moment to go inward, to reflect on these things. I'd like for you to close your eyes. And if you can, just take a few breaths. Start with your belly and expand. Go up to your head. And imagine it being like the rolling tide of the ocean. Let it lull you out of the hardness and the thoughts you bring to you of the day, of your past. Let's take a moment to imagine ourselves as nothing, the beginning of time, where it's just dust floating around, and carbon, and the spark and energy of God. There's no deadlines. There are no expectations. There are no judgments or sad stories. There just is. And we are there. We are all of it. This life is beautiful because we get to share this blessed divine energy with one another. If we allow ourselves to just let go and open the grandiosity and everything we seek will flood in us. It has to. We remove the blockage of the stone and let the water and the energy flow. There's nothing higher than your ability to love. And that starts with yourself. Feel it. Take one more deep breath of love and let it permeate through all of your cells. Let it radiate to the point that when you walk into a room, you can't help but glow. You can't help but let your light shine. We are divine creatures, brothers and sisters. We possess the greatest power It's our birthright. As we move forward, let's never forget this universal and wonderful truth. Breathe in, beloved. Breathe in yourself, your greatness, and all that you have to offer. And let it out. Let it out. Let it out. You reside in this beautiful space of energy, now and forever. And so it is.